You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, is it too late to jump on the gold and silver bullet train? The Australian share market hits a three-month high, and we take a look at the opportunities for 2026. All of that and more next. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 27th of January 2026, a day where the Australian share market hit a fresh three-month high, the ASX 200 up 0.9%. We'll have the details soon with Michael Wayne from Medallion Financial Group, but we're starting off with precious metals because the gold and silver bullet train continues to charge along, gold breaching $5,000 per ounce for the very first time overnight. It has now surged 84% over the past year, and silver has done even better, a massive 250% increase in that same period. A lot of that happening in the past few months, and it hit another record today too. But overnight, we saw some wild swings with the silver price going as high as about 117 before easing to about 110. Some are worried it's trading more like a so-called volatile meme stock caught up in a bubble. So is it? To find out what's driving the price of precious metals and where to now, I spoke with Daniel Hines, a senior commodity strategist at ANZ. Daniel, when we look at the gold and silver price at the moment, what's driving it and are there different factors affecting each?
Well, I mean, probably the better question is what is not driving gold at the moment. Certainly, it's been a real multitude of issues over the past 12 months, really. But certainly, culminating in the rally that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. I think most broadly, it's been this uncertainty about the political and financial system backdrop. I mean, Trump has obviously created a lot of uncertainty with his trade policies and his attacks on the independence of the U.S. Federal Reserve, and this has certainly created investor demand for other sort of non-U.S. dollar assets, and certainly gold fits into the bill quite perfectly. But it's been other issues as well. I mean, certainly central bank buying over the past little while has been relatively strong. And once again, this sort of comes back to, the outlook for the US economy and its monetary policy. There certainly is, a concern that, US treasuries aren't as, risk-free as there was have been in the past. And so central banks are certainly trying to diversify their reserves as much as possible. And we're seeing this a culmination really in this huge hunger for gold, which has traditionally been a haven asset, a real risk diversifier for portfolios, but it's taken on a whole life of its own amidst this uncertainty that we're now experiencing.
I'm starting to see this term pop up a lot, sell America. To what extent are we seeing that?
Oh, look, I think gold just fix that bill of being an asset which can't be impacted or manipulated by any certain region or country or whatever. It clearly is an asset which drives on its own, and that I think really appeals to investors when they see so many risks, and it's not just in the US dollar or the US financial system. It's more globally around trade policies, economic uncertainty, the geopolitical tensions that we're seeing now as well. That real drive for an asset which can potentially protect them from all of this uncertainty is really the crux behind the surge in demand at the moment.
You mentioned earlier that central banks are back buying gold. What about professional investors and the retail investor, especially through ETFs or maybe buying it physically? And not just gold, what about silver too? Who's actually buying it?
Yeah, no, it's interesting that this rally hasn't been accompanied by a really strong pickup in flows into these gold-backed ETFs. We've seen obviously gains over the little while, but certainly not to the extent that you would expect with this type of rally. Gold up 60% over the course of the past 12 months, and I think that's partly due to the strong equity markets that we've also seen. During that time, the AI boom has clearly benefited US stocks, and so investors there are still sort of, I suppose, invested in that rally. If we do see, all of this uncertainty start to result in a bit of unraveling in the equity market as well, then I really think we'll see those inflows into ETFs build. So that, I think, for me, provides a potential sort of trigger for another rally, even though we're seeing such strong gains. I mean, that goes not just for gold, but also silver, which has relatively low levels of physical metal held in ETFs compared to gold.
You mentioned AI a few moments ago. When it comes to silver, I've heard that silver, one of the demands for silver has been in this rise in consumer electronics. How much is that true? And how much is it back to that story that you said that it's more in that safe haven play?
Well, silver's got the best of both worlds. It's got the attraction of that haven asset that gold has, but it also has that industrial sort of link as well. I mean, silver was included on the US critical minerals list just recently, so that has raised some concerns that the US will start to strategic stockpile and potentially put tariffs on the metal as well. It certainly is, pretty important, not just in the AI boom, but I think across, the whole sort of energy transition. It's a key metal for the solar industry in particular. So, it has that real sort of industrial activity sort of link with which just adds to that demand and why we're seeing silver really outperform gold at the moment.
Okay, final question, and I think it's one thing that a lot of investors are looking at is how far can this rally go? Are you concerned that we're reaching some sort of a precious metals bubble, especially silver, because it's rallied quite hard. I think something like 250% over the past year, but overnight what we saw was some pretty volatile trading where it jumped up, quite dramatically and back down again. What's your take on where to next and why?
Yeah, no, I certainly do get concerned when we see such strong gains. Not to say that we'll ultimately see, this rally continue, but that parabolic rise, really opens it up for a bit of profit taking. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we do see prices pull back in the not too distant future. But there's nothing to really say that the drivers that we've seen push it to these levels are going to disappear anytime soon. And that sort of gives me comfort that the rally is still here to stay. And certainly I think that the lack of involvement, as we were talking about before, in the ETF market suggests that not everyone is fully invested in this trade as well. It's clearly a popular one at the moment, but not as broad as you could normally expect. And so I think the pullbacks will certainly happen, but I think it'll give time to pause and certainly reflect, and some of those real strong drivers that we've seen continue to attract investors into that asset.
That's Daniel Hines there, Senior Commodities Strategist at ANZ. A quick look at the share market now. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9% today to 8,941. 10 of the 11 sectors on the index ended higher. Telecommunications the best, that sector up by about 1.6%, followed by consumer discretionary and healthcare, the only one to fall, property or listed property anyway. The best performer on the ASX 200 today, Telix Pharmaceuticals, shares up by 8.3%. Capstone Copper, ProMedicus, REA Group and Resolute Mining all doing particularly well. The worst performer on the index, Alcoa, down by 8.8%, and Life360 losing 8.6%. DroneShield also tumbling 6%. 6.5% today. We also saw a bit of a changing of the guards on the index, with the BHP regaining its crown as the market's largest listed company. Its market capitalization now $251.4 billion, overtaking the Commonwealth Bank for the first time in about 18 months. The Commonwealth Bank now valued at $250.9 billion. So for a look at the day's market action and more, I spoke with Michael Wayne. He's the Managing Director at Medallion Financial Group. Michael, the ASX at a three-month high. What's driving sentiment at the moment?
Three-month high, but you know, on a six-month basis, it's more or less flat. But there's no doubt there's been an immense rotation going on the ASX away from the larger banks towards the materials space. So the materials section or sector of the market is up around 40% on a 12-month basis, and that's driving the ASX higher, particularly as we start 2026.
Is that one of the reasons why we are seeing a bit of a changing of the guards? I know it's quite fluid at the moment with the Commonwealth Bank and BHP swapping throughout the day, being the largest company on the ASX. But what we've seen is BHP regaining likely its title as the most valuable company in terms of market capitalization. What's changed over the past year? You mentioned that sector rotation. And why has one risen more while the other one's kind of eased?
So beginning of 2025, it was all about the big four banks. And there was a lot of discussion how the valuations amongst that sector and those businesses had become extreme. Whichever way you looked at it, they were the most expensive banks globally. And I was on the record sort of last year discussing that until there was a catalyst driving the rotation, it would be very difficult to see the banks coming off significantly. But in the last 6 months, we've seen that catalyst emerge. We've seen a lot of strength, not only in the precious metals part of the market, but you know, commodities such as your copper. Copper now for BHP makes up close to 50% of their revenue. So it's not purely the big iron ore company that most people would recognize BHP as being. So yes, we've had gold and silver prices push all-time highs, but a more industrial type commodity in copper is also well and truly pushing all-time highs at the moment. And that's been an enormous tailwind for a business such as BHP, but also Rio Tinto, who are businesses that have been increasing their exposure to that commodity, being copper, in recent times.
Since we're talking metals and now precious metals, that gold price hitting above 5,000 US, in your eyes, what's driving it and can it continue to climb?
It's been a bit of a perfect storm for gold. You know, you've got on one hand a situation where you've got the US dollar index across a basket of currency reaching four-year lows. So often you've got to think about it. An ounce of gold has an intrinsic value. And if the value of the US dollars is falling, then you need more US dollars to buy an ounce of gold. So the gold price has been moving higher for that particular reason. But you've also had a loss of confidence, I suppose, at the margins with sovereign bonds and sovereign currencies. And you have to remember the fixed income market is relatively enormous compared to the gold market. So although you haven't got people selling down US Treasury holdings at a wholesale level, even if they make small adjustments at the margin, they take that capital and put it into the precious metals market, then you get this enormous demand influx. And that's what we're seeing, I think, at the moment. You've had central bank buying in the gold space now for a number of years as well. And every time one geopolitical event seems to roll over, something else seems to emerge. It was, you know, only a few weeks ago we were discussing Venezuela and the US, and it was Iran and the US. And then last week you had a blow up of sorts in the Japanese bond market. And again, that brings to the fore people's concerns about some of the sovereign risks that are out there and increasing the allure of gold as an investment for many people in their portfolios.
But what about the risk of a bubble emerging in the precious metal space, particularly in silver, which I think's up around 250% over the past year, a lot of it over the past couple of months? And there's also this talk that I've seen it in the Fin today, that this talk, it could be similar to those meme stocks that we've seen over the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. We aren't subscribing to that view just yet because of some of those tailwinds that seem to be justified. However, there are similarities between the boom that's going on at the moment in precious metals to what we saw in 2011 and 2012, when you had these hockey stick exponential rallies in the underlying commodity prices for gold and silver, for only for the heat to come out of it just as quickly as it went in. So investors rushing to the party now need to be very, very careful and tread carefully, because, you know, these massive run-ups in the prices, all you have to do is get a chart of gold or silver and take it out 5 or 10 years, and it's cause for consideration, put it that way, when you see, you know, rallies of that extreme magnitude in such a short space of time. So yeah, there's definitely the risk that this does keep inflating. However, you know, the momentum is very strong at the moment. Those geopolitical risks are still there. And there is definitely some adjustments going on at the institutional level when it comes to US dollar holdings, treasury holdings, and maybe there's some increasing of precious metals exposure. But look, it's very rare that you get a situation where the most dominant sector of the previous year continues to be the dominant sector for the year going forward, 12 months. So gold and silver is definitely the story of 2025. I'll be careful to assume that such a run will continue throughout 2026.
Okay. Speaking of the story of 2025, I think we also spoke a lot about AI and technology. And I think a lot of those tech type companies are reporting in the next week in the US. How important will this US reporting season be, and what are you looking out for?
Yes, certainly it's important. The sentiment that gets driven from the US flows through to our market, undoubtedly. Obviously, as you touch upon, the amount of expenditure that these large US tech businesses have been spending on their investment in AI is enormous, and the market will be hanging out for some information that justifies that expense. As long as these companies, the market knows that these companies are spending a lot of money. They just want to make sure that there's progress being made to bring many of these AI-related themes to the point where they're producing revenue. So that's going to be the key factor that the market will be focusing on. It's interesting. The US market at the moment seems fairly strong in terms of earnings growth. This will be the 10th quarter in a row, which has seen the US market deliver earnings growth. The market's expecting about 8% earnings growth in the US for the quarter, and those are very healthy numbers. But you need those kind of numbers in this environment to justify the lofty valuations that the US market and many of those tech businesses are trading on. Another interesting factor, which we'll be monitoring closely, is the relative earnings growth coming through from the small cap end of the market in the US. There's no doubt that over the last number of years, I think the last 4 or 5 years, the earnings growth coming from the larger end, the Magnificent Seven, has been very, very strong, leaving the rest of the market behind. However, there are early signs that momentum is starting to shift, or that dial starting to shift back the other way, and the earnings growth coming through from the smaller and medium part of the US market is really starting to gain traction. And if that was to play out, I think that would be healthy for the market, as the breadth of the rally in the US could really broaden out and help maintain the record, growth or the record market highs that we're seeing over there.
And just in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, so in Australia at the moment, we actually have a bit of a mini bear market unfolding in our tech part of the market, or our growth part of the market. So you've got many high quality, classic compounding type businesses in the growth part, or whether that's technology or healthcare, that have pulled back 30, 40% in some instances. And these are companies that are growing earnings at 10, 15%, 20% in some cases consistently. So that's where we're seeing value at the moment. And just to list off some names that sit within the ASX top 100, you've got companies like Technology One, you've got companies like WiseTech, ProMedicus. Not your household names, but these are multi-billion dollar companies that have been some of the better performers on the ASX over the last 5, 10 years. And you've seen with this broader rotation, a lot of money coming out of those names into the mining and materials sector. But we feel at some point that quality will rise again to the top, and you're getting an opportunity to buy some very high quality businesses at a significant discount to their all-time highs or 12-month highs.
That's Michael Wayne there from Medallion Financial, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. If you like it, give it a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.